praying for these throughout the week there. Turn in your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 12 this evening. Hebrews chapter 12. We are going to look at three verses here this evening. And excited for the opportunity to look into God's Word. And so let's read the first three verses here of Hebrews 12 together as we get started. And then we'll go back and make some comments and jump into this. Look at this together. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Yes, we are talking about running this evening. Now, I don't know how many runners we have in here. I know some of you. I know Tom down here is an avid runner. I know Plez likes to run. But picture us, we are all runners, according to this passage. So picture us stretching out. You know, picture the headband. Picture Mr. Vandenberg putting on the headband, getting ready to run. We are running a race. And, you know, one of the things that cracks me up when you go by and you see the little stickers in the back windows of people's vehicles. I like the 0.0 one that says, I hate to run on the bottom. That's funny. We used to have a lady in our church here that had that, Kendall. Tavis Long used to love to run, and Kendall hated running. And we used to joke about that. But we're going to talk about running here this evening. We are in a race. And want to make some application here, but let's take a look here. First of all, first thought here is first the encouragement that's given to us. Look with me. The first phrase here, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Okay, this is referring back to chapter 11. These witnesses that have gone before us. They have paved the way. We have seen how God has faithfully worked in their lives and how He has protected them and used them. And we can look at them as examples. Today I had the privilege to attend Brother Jack Inge's memorial service there. And it was so great to hear how God worked and how God used Brother Jack in his life. And hey, a witness that's gone before us and we have seen God's faithfulness. And we look through the list back here in chapter 11. We look through Abraham and Sarah, how they left home and looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. We see the testimony of faith and how God worked in Abraham's life. We see Moses. We see Joseph. We look down through the list of these folks. And these were testimonies. These were witnesses that we can look to. And look how God used them. And it ought to be an encouragement to us. Today, you say, well, we're in a different day. You say, you don't know our day. You don't know our situation. But you know what? As we look back in this passage, think of the situation of some of these folks. Think of the situation Joseph was in. Or Moses in the land of Egypt. When Moses was stepped forward there. Think of the fact the Israelites were in slavery. You talk about a horrible day, and yet look how God stepped in and what God did and provided that deliverance out of the land of Egypt. Hey, it doesn't matter the day. Our God can do it. He can provide. You look at the list of people of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Samuel. These folks are mentioned here in chapter 11. You think about the time of the judges when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And you look how God was faithful in that day. That ought to encourage us here this evening. You say, well, I don't know, things the last 5 years or so, man, they've headed downhill here in our country. Hey, what an opportunity for us to live for God, though, and to stand out. So we look at the encouragement here. You say, but you don't, But we're talking Abraham and Moses. These are great men. These are great folks that are mentioned here. You say, it's just me. I mean, how can I compare to them? But you know what, as we look at this, take a closer look here at this passage. Look at verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. You think about this. Rahab. I mean, Rahab the harlot. She's mentioned here in the chapter of faith. Hey, there is hope for all of us. The beauty of the power and the forgiveness of God, the power of the blood of Christ. You know, we can walk by faith. We can live victoriously. These are great saints, but look at what God has done in our lives. We are trophies of His grace. When people look at me, they can say, hey, look at what God has done in the life of this person. Here's a sinner who God saves and raises up and changes and sanctifies, and someday He's going to glorify us. He's already justified us. He's in the process of sanctifying us. We're going to be glorified. We are trophies of His grace. So as we begin here, look at the encouragement. Seeing also, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Notice though the next thing, as we look ahead here, look at the warning that is put forth to us here. The warning, the warnings. Notice what it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, if we're going to run a race successfully, there are some things we've got to do. I will admit I don't run as much as I should, okay? But I try to stay in shape. Monday I went running. I was kind of feeling guilty because I hadn't exercised since last Wednesday. It's like, okay, I got to get out and exercise. So Monday I did go running. You know, when we go running, there are some things we do, some things we have to set aside. I'll be honest with you. I did not wear my suit jacket and tie when I went running. You say that would be foolish, right? Yeah, there are some things we have to set aside. And it talks about this type of thing here, these weights. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sins which hold us back. Picture a runner. There are so many things that can hold them back, things that can restrain, things that are bulky, things that can slow us down in this race. You know, as believers, notice this, let us lay aside every weight. Of course, a weight is something that weighs us down, something that may not be wrong in and of itself, but it's working against what we're trying to accomplish. As I'm trying to run my race, it's holding me back. It's weighing me down. You think about this spiritually. There are some things that aren't bad things, but we need to be careful. You know, we think of young people being attracted to things that can pull them aside. I see this in school. You know, things that pull them away from what they're supposed to be doing. How about video games, right? You know, certain kids, they're struggling with their grades. Well, why are you playing video games during the week? You know, these things are weights that can pull them aside. But you know what? As adults, as we live our lives over time, we can accumulate things. We can accumulate different things that can weigh us down if we're not careful. Think about some of these things. Think about the physical things, the possessions. Aren't you thankful for the possessions we have? We are so blessed. God has given us so many things. But you know what? The more things I have, the more things I have to take care of. And possessions can weigh us down and distract us from what God has called us to do, from this race He's called us to run. You think about this. There's nothing wrong with these things. They're good things. But think about our houses. You know what? A house can take a lot of time. A house can be a weight. I am so thankful for the homes we have. But let's not let them be weights. Let's keep things in the right perspective. Cars, boats, toys, good things. But you know what? There may be some things we need to set aside. There may be some possessions. We can get too closely tied to the things of this earth. These are weights. They can be weights. How about relationships? You know, relationships are good, but relationships can be weights as well. If we have some wrong relationships, relationships that are working against us in this race we are running. How about activities? You know, work is a good thing. I'm all for work. It's good. God wants us to work. But you know what? Even work can be a weight. We can overwork. We can spend our time with so many endeavors that those things become a weight. Jan and I, back in Indiana, we knew a number of folks that had rental houses. And, you know, we talked about it. You know, we could get a rental house, help save up for retirement, you know, just kind of work like that. For us, though, it didn't fit. I don't have time to take care of a rental house and renters. And some folks do, and that's great. But that's just an example. For me, that didn't fit. It would have been a weight. If you have rental houses, I'm not talking to you in particular, but I'm just using that as an example for me. That did not work. Okay? You see, there are so many things that can pull us down. Jobs. We can get our eyes on money too much. It can be a weight that can pull us down. How about entertainment? How about a TV? Or computer? Or social media? Facebook, Instagram. You can go right down through the list. Things that aren't bad in and of themselves necessarily, but boy, they can be weights. They can pull us down and distract us from the race that we're supposed to be running. How about hobbies? We did a lot of fishing growing up. I like fishing. Fishing's fun. I like eating fish. I like cleaning fish. We used to go once or twice a week growing up. But guess what? I don't have time to fish right now. You know, just where the ages of our kids and the busyness of life. You know, someday when things slow down, I may take up fishing again. But right now, fishing would be a weight. You know, different hobbies like that. Are they weights? What about philosophies? You know, philosophies, worldly thinking, it can be a weight. It can be wrong, but some of it may not be wrong, but just a weight to pull us down. There are things that we need to lay aside. He says, hey, get rid of these things. Take action. Notice this is an action. We need to lay aside certain things. You know, you say, we're the Wednesday night crowd. We're the ones that are running the race well. Do you know what? We can sure deceive ourselves. The Bible warns us repeatedly about deceiving ourselves. You know, it's good to take stock, to step back, to evaluate, to do a checkup. Okay, are there things in my life that are holding me back spiritually? Not necessarily wrong things, but it's like, you know what? I'm spending way too much time here. I'm putting way too much energy into this. You see, what are my priorities? What about the basics? Are some of these weights taking the place of the energy that I should be investing in spiritual things? What about the basics? What about church attendance? You say, well, we're the Wednesday night crowd. I know that. But what about BSF classes? Are we coming faithfully? What about Sunday night? What about Wednesday night? You know, God tells us, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I mean, these are the basics that God tells us. Hey, what about weights? Do we have things pulling us away from these things? What about my personal time with the Lord? Just reading, studying His Word and praying and worshiping Him on my own. You know, there are so many things. I can stay up late watching TV or working on the computer or messing with the computer or all these distractions that they zap my energy that all of a sudden I don't have time for what's really important. My walk with the Lord. Hey, let's lay aside the weights we need to. And notice this, not just the weights, but the sin which does so easily beset us. You know, we're made of flesh. And boy, we have temptations. And sin can so easily beset us and pull us down. Flip over with me just a couple pages here to 1 Peter chapter 1. Just turn through the book of James there and you're in 1 Peter chapter 1. Look with me here at 1 Peter 1. Notice the instruction to these believers here from Peter. Look at verse 13. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Similar to running a race there, the phraseology. But notice what he says here. "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Why? For as much as you know, we were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold. But look at this, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Hey, what does God want us to do? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Let's live lives that are set apart. We're going to be tempted with sin. Hey, let's lay aside the sins that so easily beset us. If there's a place of temptation, let's avoid it. If we need to get rid of something electronically, get rid of it. Let's set ourselves up for success so we are ready to run this race. These things that are pulling us down, these weights, these sins. And let's run the race before us. Look what this, so the first thing, the encouragement. The second thing, the warning here. But look at the third thing, the admonition. Notice the admonition here, the third thing. Notice the next phrase here, flipping back here to Hebrews chapter 12. And I want us really to focus on this phrase. Notice what he says here. "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Let us run. Think about this, okay? We're in this race. We're supposed to run. Okay, what do you think about running? You push forward. You keep going. I am coaching soccer. I have to encourage the guys to run sometimes. They are not all in as good a shape as they need to be. And when you run, you keep pushing forward. You know, when you go running, are you tempted to quit? Are you tempted to walk at times? But he says, hey, let's run with patience. Notice this, it's not a sprint. There are going to be challenges, there are going to be difficulties. And notice what it says here, let us run with patience the race. Okay, this is not just a jog. On Monday, I went out jogging. I was not racing anyone. But we're talking, this is a race. Now, I don't know your perspective on things. When Jan and I got married, this is one of the things we had to learn about each other as newlyweds. You know, Jan's family, they played some games growing up. And why do they play games? For fun. And that's good. My family played games for fun as well. My definition of fun, though, was we played to win. Okay, we didn't just play to play. We played to win. And winning is fun, so we played for fun, too. But totally different. As newlyweds, we would play some games together, and I played to win. And I had to learn. I had to kind of, we had to grow. Jan's like, why don't you just let me win? I'm like, you wouldn't want me to do that. Then you'd be mad at me for letting you win. So we had to get to know each other. And so, anyway, we grew, and I grew. But I like competitiveness. This is a race. Notice what Paul says. Let me read you a passage here. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forget those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Notice the earnestness which Paul is running in this race. Hey, there's a prize to be won. He's striving to win. Flip back with me to another passage. Flip back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Hold your finger here in Hebrews. Flip back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul referred to races a number of times in his writing. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is another one. Notice this. You can see the competitiveness in the Apostle Paul. Notice this. Verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Paul says, hey, you run to win. Notice what he says here, verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we're striving for an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Notice Paul taking care of his body that he might run this race spiritually. Okay, bringing his body into subjection, he says, that the race would be won. Hey, the race is set before us. So notice here in Hebrews, we are running a race. We're not just out for a jog. This is a race that we need to strive for. There are awards. There are trophies here at the end. All right? And then notice this phrase, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, we all have a race that is set before us. And the race that is set before us, our races can vary. The race that you have may be a little different than the course that I'm running. You know, God gives us different courses. When I went running on Monday, I started off running. I walked to the end of our road and then I start running and it's uphill at first. Boy, it gets your heart rate going. And it is a long, gradual uphill. And by the time I get to the top of the hill, I'm pretty much ready to take a break. But then you kind of hit a flat spot, so I keep going. And then it's kind of a little round a curve. And then you have some up and down. And then you get to the front of our housing development. I turned around, started to run up the hill. Then there was a dead snake laying right there alongside of the road. Oh, watch out for that obstacle. Got around that. And then, you know, you go uphills, you go around curves, you go downhills. There are different stages in a race. But you know what? God leads us as we run the race that is set before us. We are going to go through different seasons, different times. You know, I remember back when I was going through the time of college. I know we have a few college students in here. You know, you go through different trials, through different stages when we're running the race in those years in college. I had the chance to go to a Christian college. And I remember the opening night. I was ready. I was excited about going to college. And I remember the president speaking the opening night and he said, you know what? You're going to have some of your highest highs and some of your lowest lows while you're here in college. And I thought, no, I'm ready. I'm ready to be here. I'm going to have the high highs. Well, guess what? We had some of the low lows and we had some of the high highs. You go through different times at college. You know, I remember when we started teaching, Dan and I were both teachers coming out of college. First year teachers. You know, that's a long uphill battle, right? Your first year teacher. I remember my first class ever. I dismissed the class early because the bell rang. I'm like, I didn't know any different, so I dismissed them early. I dismissed them three times before the final bell finally rang right. I was just learning. You know, you learn different things as you're running the race. Hey, but keep on the course. Keep running the race, the course that God has set for us. I remember when Jan and I, you know, we were newlyweds. We got our first house. What an exciting time when you buy your first house. When you get pregnant for the first time as a couple and you have your first child. What an exciting time. I remember a season of bed rest for Jan. Those who have been on bed rest, you know what I'm talking about. 2 months that you think will never end. Where I would come home and try to make sure we had everything taken care of, and then I'd run to Walmart like at 10:30 at night to get groceries. And just, you know, you're doing what you have to do to survive those 2 months. You know, it's a season. Some of you have teenagers. There's a season, right? We have all different seasons of life. There are seasons health-wise. We go through things health-wise. Just like running, sometimes we have the struggles. Sometimes we have the flatness where all is calm. We go through financial struggles. There may be a job loss, a job change. We go through the different seasons of life. But you know what? God has a course. Notice what this says. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, we're at different stages of this race. I am 53 years old. Now, you know, I do teach math, but more than likely, I am past the halfway point of my race, if you know what I'm talking about. We're at different stages. I don't know how long my race is going to be. But you know, we need to think about this. As we run the race, keep running. Stay on the course. Run the race that is set before us. You know, it's so easy for people to get distracted, to lose sight of the race that we're in. But let's stay faithful. Let's keep running the race that God has called us to. Don't get distracted. Lay aside these weights. Lay aside the sins. And let's keep running the race that's before us. And look with me here at the next verse. The fourth thing is the focus. The final thing is the focus here. Look at this with me. And I would say this is the most important. All right? The others are warnings, hey, to keep us on the right track so we don't get distracted, so we don't get derailed. But look at this, the focus. Look at this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He despising the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And it even goes on to talk about being chastened, the chastening of the Lord here. Even when we're going through difficult times, even through chastening of the Lord, don't be weary and faint. Keep running the race. Don't lose sight of where we're headed here. That we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. You know, when we're looking at Jesus, it doesn't change the course. If I'm running uphill, if I'm going through a trial and I'm looking to Jesus, guess what? I'm still in the trial, but my focus is in the right place. What it changes is my perspective on things. You know, when I'm looking to Him, my perspective is totally different. Things are okay. I was reading this week through genealogies. 1 Chronicles. You know those first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles when you're in your Bible reading? And you get to those and you kind of moan and it's like, oh, do I skip them? Should I read through them? I'm like, okay, I'm going to plow through them. It was interesting how the Lord spoke to me through a few different things here in these. But let me read you this. 1 Chronicles 5 verse 18 says this, "The sons of Reuben, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh." Okay, right away, those are the tribes that settled for the land outside of the promised land. And they had a battle come up. Verse 19, "They made war with the Hagarites, with Jeter, and Nephish, and Nodab." And here's what it says about these men. Verse 20, "They were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them, for they cried to God in the battle, and He was entreated of them. Because they put their trust in Him, and they took away their cattle, and of their camels 50,000, and of sheep 250,000, and of asses 2,000, and of men 100,000. For there fell down many slain because the war was of God. And they dwelt in their steads until the captivity. Isn't that an awesome passage? He was entreated of them because they put their trust in Him. Where was their focus? They looked to the Lord. That's in the Old Testament. But think about the New Testament. You know, when Jesus was there, everything was different. In John chapter 14, verses 22 through 32. Actually, I think that's Matthew 14. I think I wrote down the wrong thing there. The disciples, this was right after the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew 14 there. The disciples were on the sea. There was a storm. And they see someone walking to them on the water. And they're scared. And they think it's a spirit. And it's Jesus. And when they realize who it is, what does Peter say? If it's you, Lord, let me get out and walk to you. And Peter climbs out of the boat. I mean, can you imagine in the midst of a storm climbing out of a boat? We're quick to criticize Peter, but think about the faith that he had there. And he starts walking on the water to Jesus. And then he comes to himself. He's like, wait a minute. What is happening here? And he sees the waves around him and he starts to sink. And what does he say? Lord, save me. And what does it say? The Lord Jesus reaches out to him and saves Peter. And they get in the boat, and what happens to the storm? All of a sudden, there's a great quiet. You see, everything changes when Jesus is there, when our focus is on Him. You think about Mary and Martha grieving over the death of Lazarus. They had sent for the Lord, but the Lord delayed in coming. John 11:21. You know, as Jesus arrived, Martha says, Lord, if you had only been here, he wouldn't have died. But you know what? The Lord Jesus in his timing, he wasn't rushed. He wasn't hurried. He had a purpose because he was going to teach them, I am the resurrection and the life. And he raises Lazarus from the dead. You know, everything's okay when Jesus is there, when he's our focus. You think about the thief on the cross in Luke 23, verses 39 to 45. You know, the one thief is making fun. Hey, mocking the Lord Jesus. If you're really God, save us. The other thief recognizes who the Lord Jesus is. Don't you see, this is a righteous man. He doesn't deserve this. Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. The Lord Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. You see, when we look to Jesus, everything's different. In Sunday school this week, we looked at Acts chapter 7. Stephen, a godly man, one of the first deacons in the church, preaches a tremendous sermon there in Acts chapter 7. Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, Stephen we're talking, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. And what do you think he saw? This is so beautiful. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with their loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city. And they stoned him and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and this is Stephen calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. You know, I shared with our Sunday school class, I don't know this for sure, but in my thinking, you know, as I read through this, it's like Stephen was being stoned. But do you see the peace that came over him at this time when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ? In Hebrews chapter 12, in the verses we're looking at, it talks about, verse 2, He's sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is sitting, His work's complete. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. But here in Acts 7, what does it say? He's standing at the right hand of God. I don't know this for sure, but I think He was probably standing there kind of reaching out, saying, come on, Stephen, it's okay. I got you. Can't you just picture that? Everything changes when we see Jesus. The focus is totally different. You know, as we run this race, where is our focus? Are we looking to the Savior? He's where our focus should be. You know, one of my teachers came to me and was talking to me today, just situation with a family that's just a difficult situation. And basically, it's an unsaved mom, one of our really younger kids, and the mom, I believe, is unsaved. You know, she needs Jesus. What does she need? She needs Jesus. She needs to see Jesus. He is the answer. He could totally change the situation. We were at the funeral today, and it was interesting. We were sitting there. Reuben was there with us. We were sitting. There were four men in front of us. And I don't know their stories. But you know what? As we sang at the funeral today, "It is well with my soul," a triumphant song at the funeral. It was a beautiful funeral. The pastor did a great job. The Lord was magnified. The gospel was preached. But you know, it was just interesting to see as most people in the church were singing out. Here were four men, you know, ages 40 to 60, you know, business dressed. They weren't taking part at all. I don't know that it was well with their soul. We sang, "How great thou art." Not these men. You know, what do folks like that need? They need Jesus. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. He can save them. Let's be looking to Jesus. He is the message we have to share. Our message is not do good and be nice people. Our message, are you ready for this? It's not Fairfax Baptist Temple. Now, we want to invite folks to church so they can come and hear the gospel. Hey, we be active. Let's be active in inviting folks. But our church is not the answer. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. All right? And so He is our message. They don't have to come through our church doors to be saved, but they do have to go through the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, folks. Now, please, invite folks to church. Make sure you understand what I'm saying. Get them here. That's great. But Jesus Christ is the answer. He's where our focus needs to be. You say, "I'm a believer." You know what? I am saved by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ through the shedding of His blood. He's the mediator between God and man. Hey, if He can save my soul, can He provide deliverance for whatever trial I'm in? Yes, He can. You see, everything is different when Jesus is there, when my focus is on Him. I can be in the midst of the worst trial, and yet I can have peace in the midst of the storm. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Because of who Jesus is. So as we run this race, notice what it says here. Let's be looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look at this, verse 3. "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest we be weary and faint in our minds." Let's follow the example of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's not be weary. I'll be honest with you. Monday, I was weary when I was running. I haven't been doing enough running. I'm not in the best, I try to stay in shape, but I need to run more. But it's one thing to be weary physically. Let's not be weary spiritually. Hey, let's not be weary in our minds. Let's not lose heart. Let's not lose sight of who our Savior is. Let's keep our focus on Him. I want to encourage us tonight. I hope this is an encouragement. hey, as we take stock, look at the examples of those who have gone before us. God has been faithful to them. He'll be faithful to us. Let's go forward by faith. Hey, let's lay aside the weights, the sins. Let's take stock. Are there things holding us back that we are doing to ourselves that we need to take stock. We need to lighten the load. We need to get ready for the race. Let's run with patience the race that is laid out for me or for you. We may have different courses. Yours may have different turns, different hills. But let's run with patience. Let's keep running. Keep pushing forward. It's a race. Let's keep striving for the finish line. We are strangers and pilgrims here on this earth. Let's keep pushing forward. And then let's be looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May He be our message that we take forth this week. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for these verses of encouragement.